Sydney. That would be great. Yesterday, after a whole week of soccer camp, I had to go and spend about 4 hours down at a soccer carnival that the association was running down at Majimba. So that was really exciting. More time out in the sun, more time chasing around after kids. But it was good in a sense because I was able to obviously catch up with my fellow executive members, but I was able to catch up with at least one family that is going through some trauma at the moment, which was really good. But as I was there with one of the members of my executive, he was sort of asking a little bit about my church and that sort of thing, about our church here, and he said, "Oh, so are you preaching tomorrow? Do you preach?" And I said, yeah, I'm preaching. He said, "So what are you preaching on?" I said, "Well, I'm preaching about work." He said, "That sounds really exciting." And I said, "Oh, it will be. You need to come along and listen." But it is. I hope you're all pumped for this series on work. Even though we sort of think, work, man, that's pretty dull. But as I mentioned before last week, this work that we're going to be looking at over this series is not just paid work. It's we all do it. We've all been given this task to work. We've all been created to work. And so today is just our start of this. About, I guess, being reinforced about what God has given us a task to do. And no matter whether you're still, whether you're 20, 50, 80, whatever, whether it's paid work, whether it's volunteer, whether it's working at home, in the office, by yourself, whether you're self-employed, it doesn't matter. This is a series which I hope will encourage us to relook at the way we think at work, maybe even the way we act at work, the way we use our spare time, and even perhaps the choices we make even in volunteering and serving others. So as we look at this first one, we're actually going to see that we were created to work. It's one of the reasons that God created us. And so we're going to look at this brief chapter in the first two chapters of Genesis. We're going to look at what are we called to do and how should we do our work, because there is a way that we should do our work as Christians, and the perspective that we need to keep when it comes to work. So what are we called to do? In Genesis 1:27, it says that God created human beings in his own image. And then God looked over all he had made and he saw that it was very good. Now, it's easy to look over those verses because they're pretty well-known verses and think, well, yeah, that's great, John. I'm not even sure why you're sharing that about work. But I want to share that to start off with, because those two verses are really, really radical verses. Because they show us that we have a God himself who works, and it shows us that work is good and is supposed to be satisfying. Now, the reason why that's radical, why that Christian view is radical, is because when you look at other cultures and their creation stories, they're very different to that. If we were to look at the Eastern accounts of creation and how the world started, one of the most famous is a Babylonian one that's called the Enumelisha. And in that account about creation, it says that creation happened, the world was formed out of these battle between the gods came together and they were fighting. And Marduk was the king of the gods that won the battle. And the way that he created the universe, the way he created the earth, was when he defeated his enemies, he slit open their bellies and their entrails fell out, and that became the earth. Lovely story. And that became the earth. And all those gods were on Marduk's side, said, "Man, that is awesome, Marduk. That earth looks amazing." But then they started to look and think, but it's going to take a bit of maintenance. We're gods, we don't work. What are you going to do about that? And so the account goes on to say that Marduk says, "You're right. I'm not working it either. How about I create these servants, these people, these subhuman people like humans, and they can do the work for us." And so that's the Eastern account. That's what they say, that work is not good. Work is bad. It's certainly not for the gods. And it's dreary. It's something that, you know, just some creatures sort of do. It's not something that's important. And then you go to the Western cultures and you look at even the Greeks. And the Greeks have a story in their history about Pandora's box, about Zeus. To get back at an enemy of his, gave Pandora a box and said, "Don't you open it." Now, of course, like anything, when we say that to people, Pandora opened it. And their account says that out came these terrible things, these cursed things, death, disease, decay, and work. Work came about because it's a curse on us. And particularly the The Greeks certainly looked down on menial labour. You didn't get your hands dirty. They were all about thinking and about, you know, philosophy and those sort of things. To get your hands dirty, to get out in there is really sort of, yeah, not very good thing. And so you can see in all these cultures where it's about, well, work is a terrible thing. It's a curse. It's not a good thing. And yet the Bible opens up the account in Genesis and says God worked himself. God was a worker, and it is good, and it is satisfying. And so we need to understand that, because I think sometimes I know even myself, I was probably a little bit surprised when I looked at this, I thought, you know, sometimes we think work is a result of the fall. Work is a result of the curse that came, you know, after the sin. But that's not the case. In 2:15 it says, the Lord placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. You see, in that verse it tells us that work is godly. God created this in his own, he worked to create this. And not only that, we see that work is in paradise. The Garden of Eden is paradise. There is work to be done. And from that, we can actually see that God says, I want this, I'm going to create this man and later on the woman, and they're going to be workers. It's a gift from God to work. Now, how many of us think that? Harrison was talking earlier to the kids about going back to school. Those of us are going back to work tomorrow morning. How many said, can't wait, and said, I can't wait to get that gift from God again tomorrow morning. Can't wait. I'm going to set my arm another hour early just so I can give thanks and praise to God. How many of us going home to clean the house or to vacuum or to mow the yard and do all this? And thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the gift of work. We probably don't get to that point anymore unless we're sort of in ministry. But in our stuff that we do around life, no, we don't think of it that way. But this is what this series is about trying to do. It's not about praising God and for all the things we have on Sunday. It's about praising God and living for him and living a life filled with worship from Monday to Friday as well. So work is not a punishment. It's not a curse on us. It's something that God gave us, a good thing. Now, of course, we know that when Adam and Eve sinned, some problems came into that work. Work did become something that was glorious, all of a sudden became something that was a bit frustrating and burdensome. Sin did change things as it changed just about everything else in creation. But that was never what God meant work to be. He never meant it to be meaningless and joyless. He never meant it to be optional for us to pick and choose and sort of, yeah, if I want to, I'll do it, but if not, I'll just take it easy. He meant it to be satisfying and productive. You see, we live in a world, in our community in Australia right now, that the biggest thing we aim for is to retire, to get away from work, relax. That's the dream life, isn't it? To not work. And that's the way that sin and Satan has turned this all upside down. Can't wait to retire and just stop doing everything. That is a life. And yet, strangely enough, even in my life, in my years as a public servant, the amount of men who retired and women who retired who often would pass away 3 or 4 years later in this glorious retirement. They just sort of had no purpose. And so we need to remember that we were firstly created to work. God made us to be workers. He gave us work to do. And that might be good news to us, but hopefully it's radical news to us. My prayers will reinvigorate the way we look at where we work and how we volunteer and how we serve. Because it's what we're called to do. So how should we do our work? If this is something that God wants us to do, how do we work in a way that honours God? How do we work to make sure that we do get joy and satisfaction out of work? Well, I think there's 3 things we need to look at and 3 directions we need to look in. And first of all, we need to look in and look into what we are gifted to do. Because even though God has called us to work, I also believe the scriptures are fairly clear to say that we've all been gifted in a certain way. We've been given certain, you know, interests, certain passions, certain skills that differ amongst us all. And we need to look for those things that we're passionate about. You see, sometimes, once again, the world has turned work into it's all about the mighty dollar, and it doesn't really matter whether you're passionate about it. As long as you're earning good money, that's good. And we chase the dollars rather than really look at, is that what we're gifted to do? Is that where our passion is? You see, in 1:26, God says, let's make human beings in our image. So God was a worker. So when we're made in his image, we are workers too. But God was also the creator. And he wants us to be creators. Now, unlike God, we can't create something out of nothing. And theologians use these words, we're more sub-creators. We make things out of things that already exist. We make new things out of things that already God's already put there. And so he wants us, God has called us to be these sub-creators, these creators and that go around and bring new things into our world, that bring restoration, that bring order out of chaos. That's what God's asked us to do. Now, some of us are probably going to think, oh, being creative, that's you've got to be artistic for that. No. No, we can create in anything that we do. And I've given you a few examples there of what to give you an idea to start to make you think that you are a creator. For example, you might be a business person, but you take things that are already there and you make a product out of it. You take things that God's already created and put in this world and you turn them into something and you create something. Or maybe you're a businessman who takes an existing business that's failing and not doing very well and you use your skills to turn it around and to make it into something that is effective, something that is profitable. Maybe you're a doctor in the health industry and you take a body that's broken, that's falling apart, and you put it back together again. You're creating. Teachers and parents and those in daycares and all those sort of things, you're taking what God's put inside children and you're creating this potential in them. In everything we do, we are creating, and we need to look at that. That we're making things new. Hairdressers. Blow dry and put a comb through hair that's messy and horrible. Put scissors to it. They create something that, well, in some cases, they turn order out of chaos. For those of you who don't have hair, it's not applicable. There's only so much they can do. But in this day and age, the biggest creators that we rely on are baristas. Where would most of humanity be in Australia without these people who are willing to take things that God's already made, a coffee bean and some sugar and some milk and some hot water, and put it together and make coffee? The blessing that comes from that. But when you break every one of your tasks down, even serving and lawn mowing and cleaning, washing clothes, you are recreating something. You're taking something that God's already made, already provided, already given us, and we're turning it into something new. And generally, as we do that, we will bless others. We need to understand that God has called us to be creators. And it's not just in the artistic realm, it's in every one of our jobs that we are taking something. We're taking something and using the gift that God's given us to make something new, to bring something to life. And that's what God's called us to do. So we don't only look into what our gifts are and our passions are and be motivated by that and use those. You know, one of our challenges here is sometimes, you know, we need musicians and we need singers and we need helpers. And sometimes, you know, it's surprising when you've been here and all of a sudden 5 months after, 6 months, 7 months, 12 months, 2 years after someone's been this, I can sing. If it's a passion, it's a gift, use it. Don't sit back. We're not created to sit back. We're created to get out and serve and to work and to help and to create. But apart from looking into what our gifts and our strengths and our passions are, we need to look out. Because 2:15 it said, Lord placed man in the garden to tend, to work, but also to watch over it, to care for it, to care for creation. You see, part of our role as workers is not just to look at ourselves and think, what makes me happy? What makes me feel fulfilled? God has also called us to work in a way that says, how can I bless others? With the gifts that I have, with the talents that I have, with the work that I can do, how can I bless others? In chapter 1, verse 26, God says, let us make them in our image and let them be rulers. Let them have dominion over creation. So God's called us to have dominion over creation, to be rulers, and to care. And when I look at that, I think that as rulers, what do? They influence. They bring in change. And God's asked us to do that as believers. He says, my believers, you're part of your job. Part of the work that I want you to do is to go out into this world, into your community, into your families, into your sporting team, into your school class, wherever it may be. And say, you know what, this world is breaking apart. It's falling apart because of sin. It's not the way God created it. But God has called me. Part of my job is not just to go somewhere to earn money, but part of my job is to look out and see the needs of this world that is trapped by sin. And I need to be have dominion. I need to be a ruler. I need to be an influencer. I need to be one that brings about change in the lives of those around me. And once again, that doesn't mean it has to be in paid ministry. It can just be in your testimony, in the way that you work, wherever you may be. It could be in serving. I mean, one of the blessings that I keep getting blown away from in this church is the amount of people who are willing to look out and say, you know what, I can volunteer and I can serve. I mean, just this week at soccer camp, the amount of people that just put their hand up and said, I can do that. I can take a goal net that folds and has some parts that need to be put together and I can create that. I can put it up. I can get some sugar, some flour, some chocolate, some more chocolate, and even more chocolate. And I can make a slice. I can do something there. Now, Greg, Saturday morning when I popped back in here, he was here early Saturday morning cleaning up, vacuuming, making sure the church looked beautiful, getting all the grass sort of that's everywhere from us walking in here with soccer boots. God has asked us not just to look in and find, well, what satisfies me? What am I passionate about? It's all about me. God says, no, when you work, as a worker, you also need to be looking out. There needs to be a focus on what's needed around me. Be a good steward of the gifts that God's given you. Be a good steward of the opportunities you have. If God's blessed you in your work and you're financially well off, then share that with others. If you're really good at menial labor, if you're good at with trade and those sort of things, then share that with others. Go and help someone mow the lawn. Go and help people screw a picture hanger in, those sort of things. Don't just look to yourself. Don't say, how can this bless me? How can it bless others? And the third thing that God wants us to do is to look up. To look up to bring him honour in the way that we work. He has called us to work for him, for his kingdom. In Colossians 3:23, famous passage, great verse. A lot of power in this verse. You could preach on this verse by itself. But I'm really trying to make sure that our service today goes a little bit quicker than Serena Williams' final last night. Work willingly at whatever you do. Not in ministry. I'm not talking about working at church. Whatever you do. Could be in the kitchen. Could be in the yard. Could be at your workplace. Could be in the neighbor's yard. Could be volunteering at soccer. Could be volunteering at Care Out You. It could be anything. But whatever you do, whatever labor you are doing, you do it as if you're working for God. You do it in a way that brings him glory. And that is an amazing verse that we should all hang on to when we're struggling with our work. Because there's an amazing depth of truth in that. Because the verse basically goes on to say that, when you work as if God is looking at you. That you're working for an audience of one. Get out of this habit of thinking, well, the boss isn't around, so I can cruise. Because when we start to have that attitude, that I only need to work for the for notoriety and for the recognition from mankind, then you're going to cut corners. You're going to get lazy. And if we think that we're only working for our boss and that sort of thing, if we've got a boss that's not very fair and pretty unrealistic and that sort of thing, we're going to get filled with despair and get angry and it's just going to ruin our life. But this verse says, above all those things, not that you don't have to deal with injustice at workplace, you should if that's happening. But remember, in the end, you're really working for the approval of one person. That is God. You're working to bring him glory, even more so than your boss, even more so than your bank balance. And it's really vital for us to remember that, that God wants us to work as he wants us to do everything, so that people can see God in our work. I wonder if that's the case. I wonder if I was to go around and do a check of all your workmates and say, do you see God in their work? Do you see something different in the way they work? I wonder what the response would be. I mean, you go and ask Harrison, and he'd tell you he sees God in my work all the time. So I'm okay with my co-workers. I'm all good with that. But in reality, it's a challenge for us, isn't it? And it's one of the things I'm mindful of as I go into chaplaincy into the Soccer Association, that when I'm at their meetings, as boring and tedious as some of the subjects they want to talk about, I just think, oh, really? I need to make sure that I'm there, and as I'm there, and the way I talk, the way I act, the way I relate to them, the way I work, the way I serve, the way I volunteer, that they see something different in the way I do that. Not for my sake, but for the fact that they can say, man, what's different about this guy? And that's because my aim is to bring glory to God. Not going. Have you moved the cursor? No. Tom Nelson, the author of this series, gives a great quote where he says, we are not to worship our work, but our work should be worship. That challenged me when I read it, even as a pastor. But I wonder how many of us see our work life, our volunteer life, our home life where we're working at home and whatever it may be, even in retirement. I wonder whether we see that as an act of worship. Or do we think, this is a curse, this is dreary, I wish I didn't have to do it. I'm going to show you a video clip now of what it means to be mindful of the fact that when we work, it's an opportunity for us to worship. I'm not working from up here.
Peter, or Paul, or the person. God is designed. He created.
Work is worship. If nothing else, that should be a challenge for us today. Maybe it's an encouragement, an affirmation of how we already work. But maybe it isn't. Maybe it's a reminder to us that God has given us a purpose and that our workplace, wherever it may be, is our mission field as well. An opportunity to show God. An opportunity to maybe stop thinking about ourselves and to focus on Him and to focus on others. Now some of you are going to go, well, okay, but it's pretty unrealistic. You don't know my workplace. You don't know the amount of dishes that I've got to wash up. You don't know the amount of dirt and grime that I've got to clean up. You don't know my husband. That's true. I don't generally probably know how dirty they can be or how hard your job may be, how tough your workmates can be. But we need to make sure that we look at this and no matter what we're doing and the work that God has given us, it's not a punishment, it's not a curse. It's an opportunity to be a blessing to others. It's an opportunity to honour God. But some of us are going to say that the work, it just beats me down. Work is tough. And I can understand that. I've been there. Even in the ministry, work can beat you down. It can be tough. But I find that most times when that's the case is because we have a wrong perspective on what work is. Because we fall back into that trap that Satan so often gives us and says, it is how you perform, it is how you work that you can find the absolute approval and satisfaction that you're looking for. It's the only way that you can get it. It's all on you. And we need to make sure that we don't have that attitude with work, that as much as God wants us to work, desires us to work, has created us to work, we need to understand that our ultimate joy and our ultimate approval and our ultimate satisfaction doesn't come from our work, but it comes from Christ's work. So why do you work? Let's go to some famous people like Rocky Balboa. In the movie where he just kept getting beaten up and he kept training, his wife would say, why are you doing this? Why are you doing so much work and effort? And the quote that you've already seen up there, he says, I just want to go the distance so people will know that I'm not a bum. Because it will give me meaning. It will give me purpose. It will give me an identity. Robin Williams, who tragically passed away a few years ago, was asked about work. And he said, the only solace and significance I ever found in my life was in my work. And it's sad when that's what it gets to, but how many of us fall into that trap? Harold Abraham, made famous in the movie Chariots of Fire, the English runner who ran the 100 metres in the 1924 Paris Olympics and won the gold medal. But even there, they were challenging him, saying, why are you working so much? Why are you training so hard? And a really sad quote when you think about it, because he says, I have 10 lonely seconds to justify my existence. It's all about my performance. And I believe that when we start to find work a real chore, dreary, and it's just there's nothing there, it's hard, or even when we're out of work, it can be even harder for us. Because too often we just say, well, our working is what defines us. But we need to remember that the gospel says otherwise. As much as we are called to work, as much as God wants us to work, the trick to having a healthy work life is not, it's the same thing that science will tell you, it's a balance of work and rest. God did it. After God had worked for 6 days, on the seventh day, laid down the tool, he said, that's it, I'm resting. Essentially he says, it is finished. Creation is done. Now I don't believe God just rested and then just took it easy. He just moved from being a creator back to being the sovereign king. He ruled over the creation that he made. But God balanced work with rest. And he encouraged mankind to do that same way, in a practical way, with the Sabbath. But from a spiritual point of view, we know that in the New Testament, that Sabbath rest that God gives us means so much more than just taking one day and seven at least off. Because a few thousand years later, Jesus, but in a sense God, claimed those same words again when he said, it is finished. This time it was on the cross. And this time he wasn't saying the work of creation isn't done, but the work of redemption is done. You see, our salvation is not dependent on who we are and what we can do. It's dependent solely on Christ. So as important as work should be to us, because that's what God's created to be, we should never make it the ultimate thing. It is a good thing, but it's not the ultimate thing that gives us approval. In Hebrews 4, 9 to 10, it says this, "So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors." That's what the gospel says. The gospel says you can't save yourself. You can't work hard enough. You can't be good enough to fulfill all of God's standards, all of his requirements. But Jesus was. And when we choose to surrender our hearts to Christ, and when we choose to find our rest in his work, what Christ did on the cross, then we will find the rest that we so desperately seek. It was Jesus' death, his work, his life, that brings us salvation. The only approval that we ultimately need as workers is God's. The only significance you need to have as a worker, as a servant, as a volunteer, is the significance in God's eyes. The only security you really need is in God's arms. And the only joy that lasts in this world is the joy that God can give. That's what we need to remember. That when we are working, we're going to have failures. We're going to have tough times. We might even be out of work sometimes. We might just not be able to complete some things. We might have many struggles. But in those, don't let that beat us down and say, "Well, that's it, I'm useless. I can find no approval. I have no significance. I have no purpose. I have no value. Where is my joy? It's gone." Don't let that lie consume you. Work with the passion and the gifts that God has given you. Work and look to others at what their needs are. Seek to create things that bring blessing to others, but also bring honor to God. But always know, no matter what happens there, because in this world there will be ups and downs in our work life as there is in every other part of our life. Your approval, your significance and your joy, the ultimate, is in Christ. Matthew 11, 28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." We need to make sure that as we work for God, as we strive for God, as we seek to obey him in whatever fields we may be called to, that we always hang on to that beautiful truth that regardless of our performance, as long as we strive to give our best and to serve in a way that pleases and honors God, we may not get the reward here. We certainly may not get the significance and the value and the security that the world wants to give us, because they might reject us. But don't let that beat you down. Don't let that get you down. Because in the end, it's all about Christ. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for the gift that you've given us, or the gifts and the fact of talents and time and energy and finances. All these things, none of them are ours, in a sense, or they all come from you. But Lord, your word tells us you give us these things so that we can be rulers, that we can be caretakers of your creation. Lord, you have called each one of us to work. Regardless of what age we are, Lord, we each have a talent, we each have a calling. So Lord, help us to be mindful of that. Help us to be mindful, particularly when the world says otherwise. The world says you deserve to have a break. It's all about you. The work is bad, rest is good. And while both work and rest are both good, Lord, we need to keep them in balance. So Lord, I want to thank you so much for the servant heart of so many people here. Those who, even though they are retired, are still willing to give of their time and their energy and their talents. Lord, I want to thank you for those that are working here today, those that have jobs and careers. Lord, we think too at this time of those who don't have those, who are seeking jobs, who would love to be working but aren't able to at this point. Lord, I pray that as we do go about our daily business, working at home, to do housework, around the yard, helping our neighbours, or whether it's paid work, or whether it's ministry in the church, Lord, I pray that you would help us always to keep our focus on you and on others. Lord, help us to be creators, but creators in a way that that brings joy and fulfillment to others, that meets their needs, that helps them. Help us to be creators and workers that give you glory and honor. Lord, as we go about our work, may people look at us and may they see Jesus in the way that we act, the way that we live, and the way that we work. Lord, may we work with integrity and diligence, regardless of who's watching. May we seek to bring you glory and honor in all that we do. But Lord, most of all, we want to thank you so much for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Because through his work and his work only are we redeemed. It is through only Christ that we can have salvation. It is only through Christ's work that we can know what it truly means to be loved. That we can know what it truly means to have purpose and value in your eyes. Lord, we know that your word tells us that with Christ we are adopted children. We have the riches of heaven waiting for us. We are loved and nothing can separate us from that love. So we thank you for that. So Lord, just as we close today, I would also just pray for those people today who are struggling in their workplace, maybe perhaps due to injustices around them, but are just struggling for passion, for energy, for motivation. Lord, that happens from time to time. I pray your spirit would minister to them, Lord, at this time. Give them that energy, give them that passion, maybe even give them that challenge to move jobs because they're not where you want them to be. But Lord, help us to be the workers that you created us to be. It's not easy, but it's what you've called us to do. Help us to be pastors and ministers for you from Monday to Friday, even on Saturday, Lord, not just on Sunday. May we seek to serve and love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.